Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Great to have you with us here on the 1st of February, 2007. I don't know why it is necessarily, but whenever a month starts off, it just feels fresh. It feels like there are possibilities that there weren't on the last day of the old month. So it feels great. Glad you're with us. We are in a marvelous series called Seven Pictures of God's People. Derek essentially is using God's gallery of destiny images to show us who we are, what we're made to be, what our potential and our destiny is. And he was talking to us yesterday about workmanship and about the body, and over the last few days about being connected to the body and about being in a governmental assembly and all of these wonderful truths. Today, in this next segment, he's going to be talking to us about being the temple. And this is a powerful truth because, of course, the temple is where the glory of God dwells, where the Spirit of God dwells, and we certainly want to be part of that. Listen, before we get to Derek's teaching, we have a gift for you that we want to make sure that you know about. It's a teaching CD by Derek called The Prayer Orchestra, and it really is part of this business of finding out who we are in Christ, because it's all about the different kinds of prayers in scriptures, and then the different kinds of prayers, in other words, intercessors, people who pray, and the way that these prayers fit them. Everybody prays in a different way, and maybe you felt some frustration with your prayer life, and this teaching really could help you understand the kind of prayer you are. You can get this free gift by logging on to DerekPrince.org or calling us at 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. Now let's get right to it as Derek teaches us in the next in this series of Seven Pictures of God's People.
Today we're going to look at the fifth picture, the temple. Like the two previous pictures, this also is found in Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 19 through 22. This is what Paul says. And we're going to go on from the picture of the family to the picture of the temple. Verse 19 presents the picture of the family. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. I suggested that the best modern version of that would be members of God's family. Then Paul goes on to say, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. He moves on from the picture of the family to the picture of the building. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew language, in which Paul undoubtedly thought much of the time, the word for a house, a home, or a family, by it, is directly connected with the word to build. So there's a close connection in Hebrew thought between a family and a building. In fact, the word house was used in Hebrew not to describe a physical dwelling, but rather a family of people. So the two thoughts always go together. Going back then to Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Notice the emphasis on building there. Built, building, temple, built, dwelling. Five times the thought is brought out in those verses. Now there's a principle clearly unfolded in Scripture, which is this, that God has always required his people to provide him a dwelling place. And it's interesting to note that in every case he did not leave the decisions about the dwelling place to his people. He determined them. The materials, the dimensions, the type of structure, and so on, all were predetermined by God. However, the Bible also makes it clear that these buildings which we've looked at, the tabernacle and the two temples, were only patterns of something infinitely more valuable and important. This is brought out very clearly by the words of Stephen, the first martyr, to the Jewish council, recorded in Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 50. However, the Most High, that's the true God, does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? So any material building constructed by men, no matter how wonderful it may be, is not the final dwelling place of God. It's just a temporary place that he honors with his presence as long as his people meet his conditions. The final eternal temple of God, the one of which all others are just a preview and a pattern, is made up of people. You see, people are the most valuable thing in the universe. And the temple of God has obviously to be made of the most valuable material, which is not gold or silver or marble, but people. This is clearly brought out in various passages in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, Paul says to the believers in Corinth, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." It seems the Corinthian believers were somewhat ignorant of what they really were intended to be. That's one of the important reasons for looking in the mirror of God's word to see what we really are. Paul kind of rebuked them. He said, "Don't you know that you're God's temple? You better be careful how you behave." Again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, "As you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." So in this spiritual house which God is building for his eternal dwelling place, you and I and all our fellow believers together are living stones, and we are being built together to constitute the final eternal house which God has destined from eternity, which he's bringing into being now, and of which all his previous dwelling places in the Old Testament were but previews and patterns. In connection with this picture of the believers as God's house and each believer an individual living stone being built up into this house, I'd like to say a little about the process of building, particularly in the city of Jerusalem. I've spent a number of years of my life in Jerusalem. One of the interesting things about Jerusalem is that both under the British Mandate and under subsequent governments, the only material for building houses or other buildings that was permitted in Jerusalem was stone. This has greatly helped to preserve the unique character and beauty of Jerusalem. So all permitted buildings in Jerusalem are built out of stone. And there is a quarry somewhere to the north from which many of the stones are gathered. For some little while in the 1940s, I lived in a town north of Jerusalem, and I used to drive regularly in the bus past this quarry where they quarried the stones and then carried them into Jerusalem to be built into the houses. And I remember one day seeing a stone that had fallen off the truck on its way into the city and just got left by the roadside. And nobody ever stopped or bothered about that stone. Nobody picked it up. It was just left there. And I thought, how tragic that some believers are like that. They've been quarried out, but they've never been built in. And they've somehow fallen off the truck, and they're just left by the roadside, and they're not really finding their place in God's purpose. So now let's take the twofold application again at the end, the essential feature and what's required of us. Well, I think the essential feature of this picture, the temple, is that it's God's dwelling place. That's where God's going to reside forever. You know, it's a remarkable thing in the Bible. We always think about getting to heaven. But if you study the Bible, the ultimate purpose of God is to get heaven to earth. And the last picture of God's people is a beautiful dwelling place coming down out of heaven to earth. What's required of us? Well, I think it's clear. We've got to be willing to be quarried out, to be shaped, to be chiseled, to have our edges knocked off, to fit in with a predetermined dimension, and to be made ready before the final structure arises. That's something. Are you ready to be shaped, to be cut, to be chiseled, to be fitted?
You know, a question occurs to me as Derek is teaching. I wonder if, since the body is where the Spirit dwells, we wouldn't see a greater manifestation of God's Holy Spirit if we made a commitment to be more the temple that we're meant to be. I mean, that scripture that Derek uses, Ephesians 2:20, says that we are the temple, and we're the temple where the Spirit of God dwells. If we become the temple, will we see an outpouring of the Spirit like we've not seen before? Could be. There's more marvelous material to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you're just joining us, we're in the middle of a great teaching called Seven Pictures of God's People. And today, Derek has been talking to us about the temple. He's about to talk to us about the bride. Now, this is of particular interest to me because I just got married, so I want to hear what he has to say about the bride and this image that should change all of us, male and female, as we walk in relationship with God. Let's listen.
We're going to look at the sixth picture, the bride. This picture is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Although the word bride is not actually used, the implication of the passage is absolutely clear. I'm going to read Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 32. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, and this is a quotation from the Old Testament, from the story of creation, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. In that passage, Paul begins by talking to human husbands, believing husbands, about their relationship to their wives, and he says it must be one of love, devotion, care, all very sound and practical advice, very needed today. And although it's all true and valid, it's not the full meaning of the passage, because Paul then goes on to say, remember, the husband-wife relationship is patterned on the relationship of Christ to his church. And he says, this is a profound mystery. It is indeed. I'm sure no human mind can ever fully fathom that mystery. But he says very clearly at the end, I am talking about Christ and the church. So out of that passage, we see with absolute clarity the two persons in this union. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. This was very beautifully foreshadowed in the original creation of Adam and Eve, as recorded in the opening chapters of Genesis. One of the remarkable features about the creation of Adam was that God had everything ready for him before he appeared on the scene. His entire environment was there, the vegetation, the animals, the weather, the heavenly bodies, everything was there that he would need. That's a beautiful picture, I think, of God's provision for us in the new creation. Everything we need is already there when we arrive on the scene. There was just one thing missing. There was no mate for Adam. Now, that wasn't a mistake on God's part. God had a purpose in not immediately providing a mate for Adam. At least, I believe so. I believe he wanted Adam to understand something of the longing that God has for personal fellowship with man. So he allowed Adam to experience the lack of that fellowship, the lack of a mate, and then he provided the mate. Now, that was a completely different method of creation than God used for any of the other creatures, but there was a purpose in it. While Adam lay in a deep sleep, part of his own being was taken out of him, and out of that part God formed a bride for him and then presented it to him. And this is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He gave himself up for the church on the cross. He died. His body was laid in the tomb. But while he lay in that deep sleep in the tomb, God took something out of Jesus, and out of that something, part of his own nature, he formed the bride, the church. And one day, just as he presented Eve to Adam, he's going to present the church to Jesus. You see, the Bible lays tremendous emphasis on marriage. I don't think we appreciate how central a place marriage plays in the Bible. As I've already indicated, human history begins with a marriage. And the first matchmaker I like to mention was God. I'd also like to tell you, by the way, that God is still in the matchmaking business. But the Bible also comes to its glorious climax, and human history comes to its climax with another marriage. Let me read to you what it says in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 8. This is not a human marriage. This is the marriage of the bride, the church, to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to him. Now there's one primary cause for rejoicing. For the marriage of the Lamb, that's Jesus, has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So there's a picture of the culmination of human history, and it culminates in the marriage of the church, the bride, to Jesus, the bridegroom. And it's a cause for rejoicing throughout the universe. But note that the bride was expected to provide and prepare her own clothing. This is very interesting. I've lived and worked in various different continents and various different countries. I've attended various marriages in different cultures, and I have never been in a place where it wasn't one of the major tasks of the bride to prepare her attire for the wedding. I've never known a bridegroom come along and prepare the bride's attire. I think this is almost universal to the human race. And so it is with the church. The church is responsible to provide her attire and get it ready for the wedding. Jesus makes it possible, but the church has to do it. And the clothing of the church is fine linen, bright and clean, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Each righteous act that we make in faith is helping to prepare our attire for that wedding day.
You know, this whole picture of marriage as an image of who we are in relationship to God is so powerful. I mean, it really is how God rules the world. He describes his relationship with the body of Christ as a marriage. Adam and Eve were a marriage. Even the way Jesus relates to us, of course, is as a bridegroom. And having just gotten married myself, I'm so moved by the image that a husband is to lay down his life for his wife. And of course, this is exactly what Christ has done. Listen, there's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in a wonderful, powerful, transforming series called The Seven Pictures of God's People. Derek is using God's images from Scripture to paint a gallery, really, of who we are and what we're called to be. Let's listen.
Now, let's look at the main elements in this picture of Christ the bridegroom and the church the bride. I see in it three main features. First of all, mutual, unreserved commitment on both sides. Jesus gave himself up for the church. He didn't hold anything back. He poured out his entire lifeblood. And I believe that's what marriage is, even on the human level. God intends it to be a total self-giving of two persons, the one to the other. Neither is entitled to hold anything back. And it's required of the church that she gives herself to Jesus, the bridegroom, just as fully and totally as he gave himself up to redeem her on the cross. So that's mutual, unreserved commitment. The second thing I see there is careful preparation. In that closing picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb, the emphasis is on the fact that the bride, the church, had made herself ready. She'd prepared her attire, and her attire consisted of righteous acts. It wasn't one single provision that was sufficient for everything, but it was a continual preparing of that attire. And I like to think of it this way: as you and I walk in faith and in obedience, fulfilling the will of God and keeping his commandments, we are preparing our attire, that fine linen which is bright and clean. The third feature I see in this picture is union that produces fruit. The purpose, the consummation of marriage, is the union of two persons. The two, it says, shall become one flesh, and out of that union, it's the purpose of God in creation that there shall come forth fruit, new life. And I believe that's the purpose of God in the relationship of Christ the bridegroom to the church the bride. I believe out of that glorious union, which has not yet been consummated, there's going to come eternal fruit. I believe the internal purposes of God for all subsequent ages will be unfolded out of the union of Christ with his church. All right, the twofold application again. The essential feature and what's required of us. First of all, the essential feature, I think I've stated it clearly, it's mutual commitment, total, unreserved self-giving. First by Jesus the bridegroom, then in return by the church the bride. What's required of us? I believe the emphasis is on our careful preparation. We've got to be aware that there's a marriage ahead, a glorious wedding ceremony, and we've got to be preparing our attire by the righteous acts that we're continually performing as we walk through this world.
Three main elements of the bride, so powerful, so transforming. First of all, that there's mutual, unreserved commitment on both sides. This is second of all, that there's careful preparation. What an amazing thing. You know, as a man who's just been married himself, the months of preparation, spiritually, physically, mentally, in every possible way, financially, in terms of the home, constant preparation for each other. And then, of course, the union that produces fruit, not just physical fruit, but fruit of every kind. This is what a bride is. And, you know, men really can enter into that image as they understand how a bride so carefully prepares herself for her husband. This is what we're meant to do. And as we understand this, I believe we'll come into greater fruitfulness in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Do join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a few moments to order your free CD of Derek's insightful audio message, The Prayer Orchestra. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.